It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Give you Katrina.
This is a film that is purely 1986. It could never be anything else, but it's fun.
The After Dark Club, hottest acts anywhere.
Like, it was the worst set ever. They were the worst strippers ever.
What?
Like, you see two sets of tits in the entire film.
Hey, call the police. These people, they're all vampires.
They eat shit and bark at the moon.
That doesn't make them bad people.
Should I be taking everything at face value? Should I be taking everything like everybody's dead and it's a nightmare or hell? I don't know.
Today, I was nearly hung. I got into a fight with a psychotic albino. I met a human pincushion in the bathroom. I hit a cockroach, my best friend disappears, and then I'm nearly assassinated by a runaway elevator.
I've had a bad day. All I want to do is find my friend, get the fuck out of here, okay?
We be looking for ya.
This is the prevalent gang in the area, and they only come out at night because they're albinos, but they've never come across the vampires in that area. I hope they live so long.
You're asking ridiculous questions.
Yes, I am.
Don't ask these questions.
Because this movie is cheese.
I'm a fucking zombie now! I mean, look at me.
There's nothing else like this film. You will not find another film like this.
You know how many people disappear off the face of the earth every year? Not thousands, tens of thousands. You're a statistic, kid.
And that ties into 80s horror film morality so perfectly, too. Have sex, have drugs, go to a strip club, you're gonna get fucking killed.
This chick is evil. You do not fuck with this girl. You do not make any mistakes if you're in her employment in any way.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Horror 101 podcast. I am your host, Cash Wampom, and this is episode 111. Since we had a great time covering 30 Days of Night, we decided to leap from one vampire film to another. This time we're covering a more obscure 80s movie that has always lived in the shadow of Fright Night and Near Dark. This is a surreal and nightmarish journey into urban vampirism in a style that you've never seen before. It's an odd mix of horror and comedy that doesn't take itself too seriously, but firmly delivers its entertainment with interesting characters and a lot of camp. For this 111th show, we're giving the Horror 101 treatment to Richard Wank's Vamp. And we're running at 60% capacity this show, folks. There was only one night we could record this show on the month, and both Nick and Nude were unavailable with other plans, so this show it will be myself, the world-famous Brian Stewart, and the nefarious Paul B. And it's a good thing no one hears me testing the microphone, because if they did, they would think I was batshit insane.
Ding dong to schmoo. It's definitely a schmoo. Did I mention schmo? It's a schmo schmoo. Definitely a schmo schmoo. Don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm saying.
Are you totally deranged?
The world is a vampire.
And Gobla, I want plenty of protection.
They're re-releasing this very soon on Blu-ray and digital and all sorts of good stuff.
Re-releasing it?
Yeah, it's the 40th anniversary.
Yes, I know.
Which means we're old.
Yes, I know.
40th fucking anniversary.
Of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, sir.
We are going to be Nicholas tonight. How are you, sir?
Good, how are you doing?
Good to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
So look what my next door neighbor surprised me with today. He messaged me today. He's like, check your mailbox. So I look, And this was in a bag. Isn't that a nice thing?
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that sweet? Look how thick this is, man. With all the and it's not just, I mean, the main thing is Raiders of the Lost Ark turns 40.
Must be so excited that there's a fifth movie coming.
No, I'm not, as a matter of fact. But it also
goes a decent kind of cast going on.
Yeah, fucking tote melting, man, opening the ark and shit. This looks great. I can't wait to fucking read this.
Look how young they were.
Oh, I know.
Have we seriously backed into just doing vampire films this year?
No, I suggested this one because it's always been in my mind to do, and we're leapfrogging off of the fact that we just did a modern vampire film, so now we're going to an 80s vampire film. Plus the fact that Brian Stewart absolutely loves Fright Night, which came a year before Vamp. This was 85. Yeah. Vamp was 1986. Oh, okay. And how you missed this film, because this movie was
on... I don't know.
Remember Cable Channel 21?
Yeah. Well, now here...
First choice. Your parents were
We only
cheap.
Got it intermittently.
Yeah, your parents were cheap.
Whenever there was a cheap cable deal, we had the movie network.
I remember you saying that. This was like every Saturday night. This movie, when it came out on cable, was like Return of the Living Dead. It was on every fucking weekend. Every night.
I'll tell you what was definitely on when we had cable was Adventures in Babysitting, because I saw that like 400 times.
I'm not saying it's bad.
It's not Shakespeare, but it's different. It is very, very different. Okay, you know what? Look it up on your phone right now, Brian. Go through the credits. I want to see if there's any names in there that you recognize. You'll recognize one guy.
Grace Jones. Yeah, he just Billy Drago. Yes, from Briscoe County Jr.
Yes.
Untouchables.
Yes.
So I see Cooney and Billy Drago. And Grace Jones. Dee Dee Pfeiffer, do I know her from something?
Nope.
Yeah, it's Michelle Pfeiffer's sister.
These people have done so little. Their actual photos on IMDb are black and white. They're like, they should be on the side of milk curtains or something.
So, anyway, we came off of 30 Days a Night, which was a vampire film. So yes. I'm like, you know what? Let's do Vamp, because I've been thinking about it, and it's worth spotlighting from the 80s. Only because I know for a fact that next month's show is going to be... Yeah, hold on to yours, Paul B. Dog Soldiers.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes!
It's going to be Dog Soldiers.
Why? Well, out of the blue did you pick this? Because I would never have guessed you.
Partly because I knew you would give me this reaction. And one of our biggest benefactors, Erin Conrad's been bugging me for it.
Erin, I love you. You're awesome.
She messages me every so often. So next show's Dog Soldiers. I'm like, no, not this time. Maybe soon.
She added me as a friend on Facebook.
Yeah, well, she's a big fan of the show.
Okay.
She's our biggest benefactor. I gotta listen to her. She wants Dog Soldiers. She's
no offense, Erin, but I won't be available for that show.
Can we just?
You're coming for that show, Paul B.
I have one request.
Yes.
Not to invite. Can we call Brian Horky? Can we call Horbath? Just to get his reaction on the phone.
The phone next to the microphone, but then we'll have to like take the phone and throw it across the wall.
Yes.
Because we won't be able to get a word in edgewise. It's like, oh my god, I'm so glad you called. I love you guys. I love this fucking movie. It's like, okay, Brian, hold on a second. Hey, oh yeah, I know I talked too much. I'm sorry I talked too much. I'm sorry I complain and then I talk too much and then I apologize for talking and I'm talking again. That's him. He's got no off switch. They'll be like, okay, thanks for the cutting room floor. I got 20 minutes of cutting room floor.
I will say that night that we do Dog Soldiers, I will drive myself over because I do not want to drive in the car with you and your massive erection. As you know, we're coming to fucking record that.
And Brian will be steering with his erection. So yeah, Vamp, you've seen it. You've never seen it. We've got no Nick here. I haven't seen this in years, but you know what? I've seen it many times because I like it.
I've seen it many times because it was always on, like you said, every fucking Saturday night.
It's definitely an 80s film.
Here's my prediction. I'm probably going to have as much fun as when you and I sat down so I could watch Commando for the first time.
The one thing I like about this film is that it's played out like it's a nightmare. It's played out like
a
nightmare.
It probably will be.
Come on, Brian. See, he's painted his shit like a 2 or 3 already.
Bullshit.
Paul didn't give it 5.9. Okay, IMDb is full of shit anyway.
Bullshit.
So I'm not gonna trust
their score, said, it's not a bad film. It's just not a
cheese.
Good film.
You know why I like cheese. I'm with, you know what?
Look at the fucking poster art and tell me what you think this is going to be.
It's going to be cheese.
Look at the fucking poster art.
Okay, well, my suggestion is let's watch the movie and then we can discuss the cheese. Oh my god, you got Reese's Pieces, man. E.T. phone home. Look at the fucking size of that bag.
And because, well, they're half off, so I want to make sure we hit it up. And then...
What else do you get, man? Also, you know how many wine gums I have in this house because of you? Oh my god, the cherry blasters. My favorite dear. Candy. Oh, that's like 2 kilograms of sugar and sour there.
I'm going to sit there.
Oh, here, my God.
Wait, hold on. We got to get this on the microphone. Listeners,
that is the sound of 2 kilograms of cherry blasters right next to the microphone. Brian Stewart, I hope you enjoy this. Okay, everybody's got their drinks on?
Yes.
All right, let me just set this up.
We have drinks.
Let me just set this up. Let me move this fucking cavalcade of sugar. I'll move it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You can do this one. You can do the EGOT. EGOT.
Oh! This is big, Venkman. This is very big. There's definitely something here.
Did you ever have one of those nights? Hey, where are we going? Doesn't matter. What counts is that you're my buddy. My day didn't start off too well.
We be looking for ya.
Are we chumpy tonight?
And then it got worse.
We're here.
And then,
gentlemen, I give you Katrina.
You're just what I'm looking for.
Why'd you pick on us?
It was a mistake. It was a little error there, a little communication error. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. Let's just get out of here. This is not really happening.
Hello, baby.
God, you look awful. What happened to you?
I was nearly hung. I got into a fight with a psychotic albino. I hit a cockroach, my best friend disappears, and then I'm nearly assassinated by a runaway elevator.
Anyone can have an off night?
This is fantastic!
Vamp, a comedy with bite. And of course, Grace Jones.
I knew that was a frat thing. They were trying to dress it up with something realistic, and about 30, I'm like, this was a fraternity gig.
He called it. When they were bringing him to the gallows, he's like, this must be a fraternity thing.
It wasn't a gallows, it was just a fucking window.
Well, I mean, it was inside a cathedral, and they're, you know, these robed figures are dragging these tied up two individuals into this
and
cathedral.
The that, like, was that, I never figured that out. Was that supposed to be makeup or
He's like, the supreme test of immortality, the rope, and it's just like this horrible makeup on his
neck. The roper.
Yeah.
Welcome to your worst nightmare. We're about to make the ultimate sacrifice, the supreme test of immortality. A rope.
And then the tape goes fucking stupid.
Yeah.
The tape player eats the tape. He's like, and he just continues ceremony with his regular voice.
The supreme sacrifice cut will take place.
Stop. Time out.
I'd rather hang than listen to this again. You know.
Silence, pledge. The Emmadipsify initiation has just begun.
Oh, I get it. You're trying to bore us to death. They're trying to bore us to death.
Oh, yeah.
It's working.
Silence, pledge. That's where I got it from. Yeah. Everybody's like, where do you get these sayings? From movies, man.
Of course.
You watch weird movies.
You're going to have a big party tonight, right? And for this party, you're definitely going to need party stuff. Stuff. What? You're going to need booze?
Booze.
You're going to need tunes?
Tunes.
You're going to need entertainment?
Booze is easy.
We provide it. Anything at all. Anything you need, and we're in.
Anything? A stripper. And by tonight. This is great. I can't wait to see you get us out of this one.
This is what I was saying. You can't find a stripper in the Yellow Pages?
He's got the community public phone. He's taken it off the wall and brought it into their dorm room so we can make calls to try and facilitate this. It's like, you know what? This is bullshit. We don't need this. And he's like, oh, really? Opens the door and the whole thing is chaos. He's like, this is why we got to get out of here.
I got $82.
Right. Together we total $168. That and a little charm should get us a stripper and one deadly number. Now all we need are some wheels. Duncan.
Duncan?
the rich Asian on campus that's apparently has this racket going where everybody is writing all of his papers for him, and he's renting out cars
For those who are doing his tests.
Well, he's renting out cars to make more money. He's rich, this kid, right? And he's a complete dink. He's like, okay, well, you know, we need a car. Well, okay, well, I charge the regular schmo. What do you mean charge?
Yeah, we were thinking something more along the lines of a favor to be returned.
I already know. Be my friends. Take me with you.
I don't think that's...
All right, for a week, take me with you and be my friends for a week.
But this is...
All right, take me with you and just pretend to be my friends for a week.
You are so stupid.
Okay, the same actor was in UHF with the red snapper.
Yes, that's right.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
This is the one right here. I can feel it. The After Dark Club. Hottest acts anywhere. Guys, it sounds classy. You think we should have called for reservations? I'm ready.
We are ready.
But after they go on the trip, when they make it to the actual city.
Yeah.
And he's about to run a red light. Chris Makepeace is like, holy fuck, what the hell are you doing? And they do that big spin out. And like right before that, it's Metropolis. There's cars and people all around.
Yeah, it's Los Angeles, Chicago.
I don't know where it's at. People are sticking packets of sock in the windows by these guys. Like there's people everywhere. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they almost get into an accident, do that spin out. By the time the spin out's gone, they're the only ones there.
That was set up rather nicely because through the windshield, you can see that it's an obvious red light at the intersection where they're heading, but they're not paying attention because they're screwing around.
Right.
And so, and then they cut away from the intersection, but the car is still moving at that same velocity. So you can sense an impending accident.
Yes.
Right? So that was actually kind of nice. And then what follows was a bit of the ridiculous, and then...
A bit?
Very Twilight Zone-ish.
14, 15.
Coming out of a spin-out, and everyone's gone.
Well, the initial spin wasn't him breaking. He was clearly doing donuts there.
And I like how when they take off, you see the Metropolis, like the skyscrapers behind them.
In the air.
Civilization is just within reach, but they're traveling away from that into the unknown. And then they're in the coffee shop, and, like, they're on their own. There is nobody there except for the coffee shop owner.
Well, the guy says it's just down the street, but the ad says that the club won't open until after dark.
Well, it's dark.
Yeah, but is it after dark?
No, but I definitely think it's dark.
But it might have just turned dark.
Well, how are you supposed to know the exact moment it's dark? I mean, if we knew that, we'd wait a few seconds, it'd be after dark, right?
So when's that?
I don't know.
And hurry it up, it's closing time.
I do like how the bar owner was getting dressed up like a priest and putting his cross around his neck.
The fucking crucifix was as big as his torso.
Massive fucking crucifix.
Hurry up, it's closing time. I say, yeah, we're almost done.
I just closed.
You just opened. Again.
Sorry, I just closed. He just opened again.
Just odd that this is the prevalent gang in the area, and they only come out at night because they're albinos, but they've never come across the vampires in that area. How have they lived so long?
You're asking ridiculous questions.
Yes, I am.
Don't ask these questions.
Because this movie is cheese.
Coffees. Six cups to go.
They were getting six coffees. What the fuck does that mean? They kept bringing that point up, and I don't know what it means, and I'm like, I missed something. But they're like, we need six coffees. They wanted six coffees. Then they say it again. They were getting six coffees.
He's making eye at the one black chick, and AJ's like, don't fucking do that. He recognizes this is probably not a good situation. We don't know where we're at. We don't know who these people are. And you're making eyes at this girl who's probably part of a club or a gang or something. Don't engage this girl. It's like, no, don't worry about
and
it.
And then she smiles.
And then she smiles. She's got those fucked up maw teeth in her face.
No.
AJ, help me.
You see something funny?
I think this is serious. AJ, I live, you die.
I think I'm going to let Maven there. Cut one of your balls off.
Ah! No! Ah!
Drop the knife, Snowflake, or
or you'll be picking these up off the floor.
And sure enough, he grabs Buddy's balls. And he's like, yeah, you'll be picking these up off the floor. That completely subdues the guy.
And at first, the way it's set up is that you think that group can be a group of vampires.
Right, because they're pale skinned.
And then you see that chick's fucked up teeth, and you think they're going to be vampires.
Except
that then they're not, obviously, because he grabs the guy by the balls and he hurts him.
Yeah.
Plus, the bartender's cross is nothing to them.
No.
Well, he's cut, to be fair, he's wearing a coat. He's covered up at that point, so. But yeah, you think it's going to be a group of vampires, and it turns out they're not.
Hey, messing with my buddies, I'm wham! Right in the tchotchkes. One guy takes on the three of us. Hey, maybe we ought to wait and see if you want to go another round. How about that, buddy, huh? Let's...
Dunk, they ordered 6 coffees.
How you doing, boys? Can I see your ID?
So they get to the After Dark Club, and
which is the worst fucking set. I kept thinking there's a line in one of the MST episodes called Hobgoblins, where they're like, it's a club. There's Lunkley, he's cooking tater tots back there. Like, it looks like a school cafeteria.
I have been trying. Hold on.
Come on, they had a bar which was raised.
For fuck's sake.
They had a pit with a diamond shaped dancing section. The only thing they were missing was the dancing fucking pole. That's all they were missing.
Okay.
What was wrong with that set? Seriously.
It looked like shit. It was the worst set ever. They were the worst strippers ever.
What?
Like, you see 2 sets of tits in the entire film.
You don't remember me, do you? It has been a long time, but I remember you. I'm Amaretto. Not really. And I will be your waitress for this evening, guys. So what can I get for you, huh?
I would like a slow, comfortable screw, a beer, and one for my buddy for a week.
Is Dee Dee Pfeiffer related to... Yeah. She is related? Yeah, I figured.
Pretty sure.
The whole movie, she's like all... She's flirting with Chris Makepeace. Oh, do you... I remember you. You don't remember me? And I'm thinking to myself, just roll with it, man. Just roll with it.
She is the younger sister of actress Michelle Pfeiffer.
She is the younger sister. That makes sense.
You have any friends that want to remember me? Nah, I didn't think so.
Gentlemen, I give you... Katrina.
You get to Grace Jones, who's doing
okay.
Doing the strip.
Yes.
And she does this thing that she's got like zippers going up her arms and down the side of her, and you're thinking, okay, you're gonna finally see something. Comes out, she looks like Janet Jackson in the Super Bowl. She got these big fucking nipple things covering her titties.
Yes, and her box.
And her box. And then she turns around and she shoves her fucking her box right in the headless fucking statue, and she's mimicking getting eaten out.
Yes.
Like, you don't see anything.
And then at the end of her segment, she puts her head between the legs of the statue as if she's going down on the statue. Now,
what kind of strip... Who goes to a strip club for a fucking avant-garde fucking exhibition?
Okay.
I caught your act out there. Ooh, some show. Very new. Very now. Anyway, I was wondering, maybe later tonight, if you're interested in doing a little encore performance for a much more appreciative audience, I could definitely make it worth your while. Yes, I could.
Because we all knew what was happening during the Grace Jones scene. We were like, yeah, he's going to die. It just took a while to get there, but we knew what was going to happen. There was no way he was getting out, right? Whether or not he was going to be just food or turned, that was the only real question, not whether or not it was going to happen.
I like when he sits down on the bed, he's looking, and it's like, oh, this is weird. Everything's covered in plastic. I wonder why.
It's like walking into a mob hit. You got all the furniture covered in plastic.
Yeah, she's Italian?
Like Joe Pesci.
It's like, oh, no. My only problem with that scene is when she starts to change, the makeup on the change is has not aged well at all. The fangs coming out, the eyes rolling back, the toenails growing. The reaction of like, yeah, like euphoric. I'm like, okay, I'm in, I'm in vampire mode. I'm gonna kill this motherfucker right now. That translated
She's
well.
She's getting off on it.
And she digs deep into that neck of his and kills him well. And then again, she's like screaming to the sky, like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted. This made my evening right here.
My only issue with killing off that main character so soon is that for the rest of the movie, you only have essentially one other character, because the Asian is a throwaway character.
Well, Dee Dee Pfeiffer fills that void, right?
But you know he can't die. Halfway into the movie, you can't kill off the other main character. So for the rest of the movie, we know he's untouchable.
Hey, you guys see a guy come back here tall, good looking? You see a guy come back here? No guy came back here?
No, he came back. One of the girls brought him. Her.
You. I remember now, so sorry. Your friend wanted to see Katrina. I tell him no one see Katrina.
He didn't have much of a chance with her. Katrina owns his dad, sweetheart.
After that.
Are you saying that you didn't see what happened?
Wait! Where's Candy?
She's half shift tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid AJ's decided to hold auditions.
No, he wouldn't just leave.
Oh, really? Not even with a girl that will melt in your mouth and in your hands?
Yeah, he'd leave. I'm gonna kick this.
But wait! What a coincidence! It's time for my break, and I have to go over by the hotel and pick up a change of tops. Some of the girls stay there. I bet if we hurry, we can catch AJ. I'll meet you at the side entrance in 2 minutes, okay?
When she's laying on the bed and they're coming in to explain what happened...
Right.
She looked like the fucking Tick.
With that blue headdress?
Yeah.
Yeah? You screwed up. You're so shaped, baby.
He was so beautiful. I was sure you would like him.
You know the rules. She knows the rules. Only the transients, the loners, the strays, the ones that can't be traced.
She's very sweet about it. She's like, you know what, Asian lady? Come on down here. Sit next to me. Everything's fine. And the girl is apologizing. Listen, I thought he was alone. He was a gift for you.
He said he was alone.
He said he was alone. He was a gift for you. I'm sorry for fucking up. And she's comforting her. And that whack takes her fucking heart right out of her. And then laughs about it. Like, this chick is evil. You do not fuck with this girl. You do not make any mistakes if you're in her employment in any way.
Oh, could you please bring Candy, you know, the redhead?
It's busy. But you can go up if you like. I'm 1309.
And they go to that hotel where you guys are like, well, they're probably getting hepatitis just walking into this.
They got everything. We got shit.
I feel like I needed a shot of penicillin just to watch this movie.
They're in the elevator with that guy with that fucking horrible rug in there humming the elevator music, and she's trying not to laugh with that horrible fucking rug on his head.
That's one scene that makes no fucking sense, though.
They get separated.
They get separated. He goes off on the wrong floor. It's set up like it's going to be some big thing. And to me, they set it up like she's been turned into a vampire.
But, Brian Stewart, you did like the runaway elevator.
I did like that. That was probably my favorite part of the movie, actually. It had nothing to do with vampires. I just thought it was a well-put-together scene, and it was actually... The one time I actually felt suspense, because I didn't feel tension anywhere else in the entire movie, except for that moment.
But I do like grabbing the
fire extinguisher.
Yeah, the fire extinguisher, and it was bending the frame of the elevator around it. Just to get himself out of there.
But they get it pretty damn close, because the last thing is his hand just barely getting it.
Yes.
But realistically, at any pressure at that point, that thing would explode.
Oh, yeah, it's highly compressorized.
So,
hey!
There you are. What happened? They told me you left.
AJ, did you find him?
What are you so testy about?
Testy? You want to know why I'm testy? I'll tell you why I'm testy. Today, I was nearly hung. I got into a fight with a psychotic albino. I met a human pincushion in the bathroom. I hit a cockroach, my best friend disappears, and then I'm nearly assassinated by a runaway elevator. I've had a bad day.
I've had a bad day. All I want to do is find my friend and get the fuck out of here, okay?
We be looking for ya.
Hey, Snowball. How they hanging?
Shit. Come on!
After the EX escaped death from the elevator there, and he was making his way back to the bar, the After Dark Club, he was waylaid by the group of albino gangs there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was forced into the sewers. And you see the little girl in the middle of the street there. Yeah. And one of the gang's like, hey, little girl, what's up? And
that was funny.
Well, now, where's your mama, little girl?
She latches herself onto that guy fucking fucking good. No. Just bites into his forearm and he's like swinging her around like a fucking rag. She does not let go. Kills his ass.
The only thing I would have thought would have been better is if she'd been like a spider monkey, like he comes up to her and she just crawls up him, starts biting like his legs and his torso and his arm and then gets to his neck.
Well,
I would have liked that more.
What? Relax, will you? It was just a joke. You asshole. You scared the shit out of me, you know that? Huh? Relax, will you? Relax. You were dead. You were in a dumpster. I thought that snowflake had killed you.
You. There's some uniformed gentleman in the back to see you.
Look, I found my friend, okay?
Yeah?
Somehow, and this is one of the elements of the movie I have a problem with, because she already killed him by feeding on him.
Yeah.
But they recognize that they've got a civilian situation here who are looking for this guy, so somehow they bring him back to life.
Which they never show us.
The guy should be dead.
Yeah.
He was in the dumpster, he was dead. But they brought him back to life, I don't know how.
Look, I just...
you look. Now my stomach's all upset, thanks to you and your dead friend here. This is not a nice area, and I don't like coming to it. So before I lock you up, I want all three of you out of here. Go home.
I've been trying to do that for the past...
Now.
And I like when the cops leave, the last person you see is Katrina to look at him. To say, hey... How's it going?
Yeah.
You're on board, right? Okay.
Yeah, looks like you discovered the only way out of here, pal. What the hell are you talking about? The club. Everyone here, man. They're vampires. Can't let you leave. We've got a problem here. Yeah? Well, why don't we go home? We'll call a doctor or something. You don't get it, do you? Home is a million miles away from me now. Home's another planet. I'm a fucking zombie now!
If you were watching this film for the first time, you might have believed that this might have been the end for Chris Makepeace.
I guess.
He has resigned to his fate. His buddy's a vampire and sees him as food. He can't bring himself to kill his buddy, and he's like, "You're gonna fucking die for me."
But it's a little insulting to think that we have to have all that spelled out for us.
You're ready to die for me, aren't you? You would, because you can't believe that I'm not me anymore. That maybe there's something left, huh? Sorry, pal.
But and my other problem too is that they were only inches apart when he raised the board, and it went right through him by a foot and a half. So unless his rib cage is made of jelly, I'm like, it was a bit too easy.
Again, Brian Stewart is hanging his hat on fucking ridiculous physics.
I'll get lost fast. Go on, and remember, you can burn him or keep him from the coffins past sunrise. I think you know the other one.
He's playing it off like he did it himself.
Yeah.
Like he didn't help him with that fucking stink. He's like, okay, here's the keys to the car. Get the fuck out. And remember, light and crucifixes work. Get the fuck out of here.
I
gotta die.
Excuse me. There seems to be a little problem with your bill. When the place clears out, why don't you be going to back and handle it personally?
Hey, Call the police. These people, they're all vampires.
Eat shit and bark at the moon.
That doesn't make them bad people.
Listen, Edgy's dead.
Again?
Excuse me.
Vampires.
You don't think you're gonna get away with this, do you?
Oh, of course. You know how many people disappear off the face of the earth every year? Not thousands, tens of thousands. You're a statistic, kid.
Why us? Why'd you pick on us?
It's a mistake, okay? It was a little error there, a little communication error. I'm sorry.
We'll be missed. They're gonna come looking for us.
Who will? Who'd you tell that you were coming here? Nobody tells anybody when they come to a joint like this. Quite a racket, huh?
You know, the dregs of society come here for a quick entertainment, and we take care of them. I like that monologue. For some reason, I like that actor.
Can I ask you something? You ever been to Vegas?
Hey, how about you buying me and my friends a last round? Kind of a last request. Like they do in Vegas.
They do that in Vegas? Whoa, that's classy. Now that's classy. Sure. Excuse me. Would you give this gentleman whatever he wants?
Yeah, I need brandies. I need like triples of brandies for me and my friends.
Driving home.
He's like, yeah, spill these everywhere.
And no, that's a problem I had. Spill these everywhere, and he spills it in roughly like in a fucking 3-meter fucking circle around him, and the entire place goes up.
You know what? If that place was on fire, I'd be like, this is fine, and I'd still continue my pool game, because I love billiards.
It'd be that meme of, like, the house on fire, and the cat's on the computer, like,
this is fine. That'd be me. This is fine. She's gone, right? Like, yeah. he looks around, she's gone, finds her purse on the ground, and she's screaming his name. She's in trouble. Goes to find her, and sure enough, Katrina's got her. By the head, with her fangs over her neck, looking at him like, okay, it's like a standoff. I like the standoff.
I have to say,
go ahead.
Just because it's going to be, I'm going to call it now. As silly as that is, and I don't hate it as much as you guys do, but as silly as that is, my favorite scene is in that scene where he pulls back on the bow and you see his blood running down the
because
string.
Of the bow wire. That was good.
That's my favorite scene in the entire film.
Oh, yeah, really?
I like the fact that be realistic. If you're pulling, if you have ever used a bow and arrow and you don't have
the gloves,
you don't have, or not even that, if you've never done it before, you don't realize how tight that is.
You don't have calluses.
And you're
going to
be sticking your fingers into that, and it's going to legitimately cut you.
Yeah.
And it distracts Katrina.
As soon as the blood comes off of the bow and hits his shoe,
she recognizes it and it distracts her.
Yes.
That's my favorite scene.
And then he takes the shot.
Yeah.
And then she runs it through with a pipe.
Yeah.
And she...
Let off some steam.
Come on!
Something I gotta do first.
The way in which she died, it is so silly. It is so stupid. It is nowhere near as good as Jerry Dandridge's dead. But what bugs me is that they're in a sewer. Where in the sewer are you just gonna have, like, wooden planks that you can just lift... to bring in the daylight.
Again, that's what you hang your...
Yes!
You know what? I gotta give it to him.
That is ridiculous.
I gotta give it to him.
That is fucking concrete. Where there's just wooden planks over a sewer. It's ridiculous. I mean, I was waiting for... And as soon as I saw the pinprick of daylight, I thought he was going to do something with it. But I'm like, where are they? Where in a city are you just going to have planks above an actual sewer?
Everything up until that particular moment, I enjoy in that scene.
Right.
And then the exposure to the sun renders her down to a skeleton, and she has
a finger.
She has the last thing that she does in her entire millennial existence is to give him the fucking finger.
That's funny,
and say, fuck
off. Yes, that's so cheesy, but funny.
I gave back a half point for that. I did. I was like, all right.
That's funny.
Let's face it, this movie was obviously filmed on a budget, right? And so they had very limited options where they
It was in mono. Even the Blu-ray transfer is in one channel fucking mono.
It sounded like shit, even as loud as you had it here. It buddy, fucking
I you know what? I changed it from the regular 5.1 channel to just regular two-channel stereo. That way the sound was coming from all the speakers and not just the front one. Yeah, no, I had to change it.
It sounded fucking awful.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It sounded...
I didn't make the film.
I know. I'm not blaming you. Jesus.
Look, we're 200 miles from civilization. We've got no money and no way to get there. Tell me the Dipsify House is worth this kind of aggravation.
This is a John Waters vampire movie. It feels like it's so odd.
Well, you didn't have vampires eating dog shit or having gay sex.
Biting the heads off chickens.
Yeah. If you had something like that, I'd agree with you.
But roving gangs of albinos, I don't know. It's so strange.
Is it odd? Certainly. Is it John Waters odd? No.
Anybody want to claim this lush? Trying to run a respectable joint here, gentlemen. Go on once. Twice.
And that ties into 80s horror film morality so perfectly, too. Have sex, have drugs, go to a strip club, you're going to get fucking killed. Right?
That was all 80s film.
That was every 80s film.
If only they went to a different joint, the end of this film would have been much different. But they went to the wrong joint, After Hours Club. They got wound up into
they got
horrible situations.
They got pulled through a spinning vortex into the wrong part of town somehow.
And you know what? The one thing I do, watching this again, I haven't seen this movie in at least 10 years. Watching this again, I love the color palette. The greens and pinks to it, I fucking love it because it's consistent. It's not like it comes and it goes. It's everywhere.
It reminded me of like the old 60s Adam West Batman series, like the villain layers, how they were these garish colors.
Pink.
That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for some pows and pings, but yeah.
See, I was rolled. Anyone could have an off night?
Off night. We're out of here.
There's nothing else like this film. You will not find another film like this.
It was never frightening, except for the elevator, which was the only moment of suspense. Yes. It was never funny.
Yes.
But at the same time, it was never boring. And so it is such a weird tone that I don't know why I was hooked watching it all the way through.
Brian Stewart, I think you just hit the nail on the head right with that
statement. It's so odd that I enjoy it for being as odd as it is. And to find something this odd, it's kind of a rare, I hate to say it, it's kind of wonderful in a way that it's so strange.
And like I said, the title is very, very perfect.
Yes.
Vamp. A vamp is not just vampire. It's something outlandish, something exaggerated.
You know,
this is a vamp.
I mostly get your basic dorks hanging around here. They seem to gravitate towards me. I don't know why.
You know what? Let's score this. Nefarious Paul B., what do you say?
I will give it a 7.
You know what? That's more than I thought you would give it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Just don't go into it thinking it's a legitimate serious horror film.
And don't go into it thinking that you're going to get great sound because it's only a one-channel mono.
It sounds fucking terrible. But it's cheesy. It's very, 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 very silly. But it doesn't aspire to be anything else. It doesn't want to be anything else. It wants to, the fucking title is called Vamp. Like, that's what it is. It's fun. It's silly. It's ridiculous. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. So if you go into it thinking it's going to be, it's some serious vampire, no. But if you go into it knowing that it's cheesy and silly and fun, you will enjoy it. This is a film that is purely 1986. It could never be anything else. But it's fun.
Look around. Look who comes in. The sickies, the degenerates, the forlorn, the lost, the lowlifes, the fucking dregs of humanity wind up here, and we take care of them.
Brian Stewart, this was your first time watching this. What do you think?
I honestly, I know you've been kind of prompting me to try and compare it to Fright Night, and I can't, because they're entirely different creatures.
Yes.
But I mean, like, that was a serious endeavor. This is not serious in the slightest.
No.
It's an entirely different kind of movie. Like Paul said, it doesn't want to be anything than what it is. I would almost like to, like I say, at some point, watch this again to see if my score changes. But I think, and I don't want my score to discourage anyone from seeing this, because I think people should see it, because it's the strangest freaking movie. Like, I haven't felt this weird watching a film in a while. But it's a 6. But
I would still encourage people to see it, only because it's a lot of things don't quite work for me in this. Like I said, you've only got two real main characters that you're supposed to care about. One dies halfway through the movie. So for most of the film, we know the second character can't die for a good 45 minutes. And so the stakes aren't really there. There aren't enough people to care about. We almost needed somebody more than the Asian tag-along to be another viable, you know, character we could threaten.
Even though after Robert Robert Ressler was killed, you were worried about him in that elevator.
Yes, that is true, because that was the one scene of tension where I thought, well, how does he get out of this? This is pretty dire. And it's good. So I think that was just a really well-executed scene that made me actually worried for him because it was so well done. But overall, though, from that point on to the end of the movie, I don't think his life is ever in danger at all. I never feel like he's ever really threatened. I thought it was weird Grace Jones not getting any dialogue. I thought that was interesting.
All she does is laugh.
Very, very bestial, almost.
Yeah, she says nothing
this movie. Much love the paycheck for it.
Oh, yeah. Unless she was paid by the word. If she was paid by the word...
Somehow I doubt that.
I'm going to have to kill them both. Don't worry. I'll take care of it.
I'll give it a 7.5. I watched this at least 10 times. Between 86 and 90, I watched it at least 10 times. Only because it was always on cable. Yeah. And I was always enthralled by the fact that the lead vampire, Grace Jones, had nothing to say. She was this matriarch queen of this den of flesh peddling that never said a word, and Chris Makepeace, I didn't know who the fuck he was. And Robert Ressler, I at the time, I only knew him from Weird Science and Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Dee Dee Pfeiffer, who the fuck is she? I'd never seen anything like this. And you know what? You're never bored. It's like a 90-minute film. No. You are never bored. You start out with this faux hanging. You don't know what the fuck is going on. You find it's a fraternity. These guys got to find a stripper by the end of the night. They grab this rich guy to get a car to go. And then they take the spin out. And then as soon as they do the spin out, it's a nightmare scenario. It's like it's surreal. And I appreciate it for that. The pinks and greens to it.
Yeah.
I think I've never seen anything like it. Is it flawless? No. Are there? Do I have problems with it? Sure. But can I get past the problems enough to enjoy it? Yes, absolutely. And if you've never seen Vamp, and especially if you're our age and you grew up in the 80s and you haven't seen this film, if you're like 25 or less and you missed this film, don't watch it. Because you're going to fucking snooze fest to it. But if you are our age, if you're about 35 to 45, 50, and you haven't seen Vamp, by all means, give it a shot. Because I think you're going to enjoy yourself. It's worth 90 minutes of your time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Last call, gentlemen. Last call. Hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget our single man special. Water you can drink for a dollar. Come along. You drink yourselves into another world.
Folks, that's the end of our 111th episode featuring Vamp, starring Grace Jones, Chris Makepeace, Robert Ressler, and Dee Dee Pfeiffer. I grew up with this film, so I like it. Like we mentioned, it's an odd horror comedy. It's nothing if not unique. The characters, the sets, the pink and green lighting, the mix of humor, sex, and violence wrapped in an 80s package. I'm saying you should check it out. And if anyone's listening who has the power to do so, for Christ's sake, can we get a remastered version with some decent sound in it? A one-channel mono film from 1986? Everyone and their brother had hi-fi four-channel surround VHS systems by that time. The audio is a travesty and needs to be fixed. We hope you like the show. Remember to join us next month for Dog Soldiers. We want to thank our patrons for their continued support. They'll be getting a new cutting room floor segment in a couple of weeks using audio from this show. If you want to get access to those, consider giving us a pledge at patreon.com/horror101. For the world-famous Brian Stewart and the nefarious Paul B., this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101. Educating your fears.
You know what? Put on Superstition. Let's watch it.
You know I will walk the fuck home.
Come on, man. You don't want to see witches yanking people off that screen?
That movie is a microwave.
Head in a microwave.
What more do you want?
Blows.